So look, Nibsy, that our aim today, our sole aim, is to make you giggle your socks off, okay? So we'll get there.
Don't you worry, Nibsy.
Don't you worry. Right, I've got some absolute corkers for you this week, Nib. Like, honestly, I am loaded, all right? I've not come with a 357 Magnum. All right. So yeah. G, how's everything with you?
Yeah, right here. Same old, same old. It's
Where are you?
Still in London. Oh yeah. Update, Nibsy. This was my bed and it's now in the sky.
What's happened?
It's on legs now, so now I sleep like 4 foot off the ground.
Did you do this? Did you actually construct this?
I mean, I say I constructed it, it was mainly my dad's a carpenter.
Yeah, because his dad's a carpenter, isn't he?
and I just sort of I assisted him in ways I could, which was just, you know, measuring bits and holding bits and saying, yeah, that looks all right, Dad, yeah.
And now nice. G's a full-on gamer now. He, like, sits there all day long.
I've been gamer since day one.
With his, like, headphones on, like... I watched his YouTube channel, Nibs. So you've got to get in this, I tell you. I watched him build a PC the other day, yesterday. It was brilliant. I'm gonna flame him. I've got like a load of points that.
Wait, you build PCs and stuff?
Yeah, well, he does, no,
I
yeah.
just, I built the PC I have at the moment, so that was I did a video of me building it to show everyone. And yeah, maybe I'll do another one about how my bed got put up in the sky. That'd be an interesting video.
That would have been a very interesting video. Yeah.
Yeah. What? Oh, can you clear one thing up for me though? I don't understand bush behavior. Bush behavior.
That's me online now, Dom.
Oh, so that's like your online nickname.
Yeah.
Bush behaviour. I can't
load up into the games and be like, oh, hi guys, Greg here. You know, actually, you know the reason why I changed my name originally, right, was on League of Legends. It's like a game notorious for just getting like people are really toxic, just flaming you and like being awful. And, yeah, it's my when I started up my account ages and ages ago, my name was like Greg B or something like that. And so everyone was always calling me by my first name and they were flaming me. They're just like, Greg, you're shit, mate. And it felt more personal, so I had to change my name to something which wasn't directly my name.
Nibs, what's your online name? Do you have an online name?
I barely have an online presence. The closest thing to an online presence I have is when I do this podcast.
man's got a flashy Predator laptop, but he's still trying to find the on button.
Wait, sure.
What on button? You just lift the screen up and it comes alive.
Hello, you are listening to TW3. We're the show that highlights the world's insanities. We make fun of those that deserve it, and we tackle the fake news that plagues us. This week, I'm joined by our one-man soundboard, the man who tackles news stories with milk for breakfast. It's Nibsy. And... we have our resident fact checker in chief and editing extraordinaire, Greg. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Bush behavior.
Yeah, oh, thank you, Dom. Yeah, please refer to me as my brand. Thank you very much.
No problem. And I'm your somewhat mediocre soundbite irritant of a host, Dominic Lane. So this week, we will look at Trump being back on message. Boris thinks pupils yearn to do exams. The machine gun grannies of Japan, how TFL ruins your day, Microsoft Flight Simulator gets real. We'll be talking about all this and more after the break. Welcome back, guys. So, of course, we wouldn't be doing our duty if we didn't talk about Trump for the week. But I promise you, we're not going to do it for long. It was the Republican National Convention, as you know, this week. And it's quite interesting because Trump had this very, like, core message going throughout the week when he was speaking, very much trying to stay on message about law and order, about the economy, about keeping manufacturing, about being tough on China. And then, of course... all that happened, of course, is once you take the structure out of Trump land, this kind of stuff happens.
And the other thing is Biden's always getting angry. He's so angry, which is a sign, by the way. But you can ask the simplest question. He asked some, you couldn't have been softer than David Muir was the other night at ABC. And I watched it. And he gets angry all the time. And that's a bad thing.
bad sign, as it meant to say at the end there. Yeah, so I don't know, Trump's back on this Joe Biden's lost his mind thing. And I don't know if you've seen online, but it's literally a buzz. Everybody said that Joe Biden has lost it. What do you guys think?
I mean...
Who's Joe Biden?
I don't know.
Says Nibsy, the Trump supporter.
Man, stuff that guy. He's not even a runner-up, man. How can you win a race when there's only one position? Like, Trump's got it in the bag. That's it. It's gonna be a Trump. It's gonna be a Trump win. I can tell you right now.
What do you think? Do you think Joe Biden's insane, Greg?
I mean, only as much as like it's like seeing like two geriatrics like arguing over like, you know, who forgot more pills to take last week. You know, they're just like they're constantly at each other going, oh yeah, but did you see when he'd what was I talking about again? Joe Biden. That's right. He's the crazy one. Like both of them just. I like to think that in the UK, you know, somehow the political race is like more mature and better than this, but it's not, isn't it? All it just devolves down into how can I just smear the person and at the head of the other person's campaign. Like not what they're running for, or whatever. Just like, yeah, but he's a flipping anti-Semite, isn't he? Or yeah, he's a flipping. Or he's gone insane, isn't he? Like, oh.
Yeah. So I mean, Lawrence and I did talk about this last week about how like sniping American politics is, and it's just not good. There was like an article this week, a picture. I don't know if you saw, but in the newspaper, so a lawyer in the States took out an ad, a full page ad. That basically said, are you an ex-president that needs legal advice? All of this. And it's just the liberal media. They just don't get it. This is how Trump won in the first place. Nibsy, what were you going to say, mate?
I was going to say their election kind of looks like, you know, how you used to elect like a class leader or a year-level leader.
Exactly,
Nibs. Like, and everyone would drop their votes in a hat, but there was all this conspiring and this bullshit. And obviously the teachers favored one side. So one side was going to win regardless, but everyone thought they had a choice. That's kind of what it's like. Like, the fact that Kanye West is running for president just speaks for itself. It's like...
School does prepare you for life, doesn't it? Actually, it's more and more every day. It just becomes a more accurate representation.
It's just that the kid back in, you know, grade 6 or whatever didn't have orange hair and orange skin.
Yeah. And billions and billions
and
of
billions
dollars.
And billions of dollars. And billions and billions and billions and billions.
All the dollars.
Yeah, there was actually quite an interesting thing, just very quickly, and then we'll move on, from Kanye West's presidential bid, which I just thought I'd update you on, okay? So he is on ballot in about 9 states, but he can only, even if he won all of those things, he would only have about 67 electoral college votes out of the 270 needed for president or something.
Right.
So... He's literally, he wanted to get on the ballot in Wisconsin. I think it was Wisconsin. We do need to fact check this, but Greg could do that a bit later. And basically the lawyer was running to get in. It had to be filed by a certain deadline. And she was running through the door, okay? And she got to the elevator and she was late by about 14 seconds, okay? So then she got the elevator up and she handed the papers to the Electoral Commission, the office, essentially, to get on the ballot. Now, Kanye West is suing because he says that if the deadline is at, say, 8 p.m., all right, then he has until 8 p.m. and 59 seconds to be able to get onto the ballot. Now, they turned him down, saying that, no, even if you take that argument, she came into the building at, like, 8 p.m., say it's 8 p.m., and 14 seconds, there's no way she could have got an elevator up to the fifth floor to do it in time anyway. So that's just a little bit of a tidbit, which I found quite funny. So, what a shit show.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you're correct, Dom. It was Wisconsin.
Was Wisconsin. Okay, brilliant. Look, guys, we'll move on to some British politics very quickly. Now, Nibsy, I don't know how, like, informed you've been, but the Britain has really done itself proud recently, okay? And basically, it's like the most... This is, honestly, I think, besides tea and crumpets, this is the most British thing ever. This is the most British scandal you could possibly have. You know, in America, it's like sex scandals and whatever. In Britain, we've got exam mutant algorithm scandals, okay? So basically what happened, Nibsy, and for anyone else who's not filled in, is A-level results were due to come in. They used an algorithm that essentially... It basically, there was a mathematician that looked at the algorithm, and he determined that what it did was it looked at a school that had X amount of failures last year or a certain amount of things, and then it just divided the pupils up based on their past results, based on where the school's location is, whether it's like a state school or a private school, all of this, and just assigned results accordingly. Of course, there was massive disparities. Anyway, Boris Johnson went to a school, another school visit recently, and had this to say.
You couldn't see your teachers face to face. You couldn't sit your exams, which you yearned to do. And I'm afraid your grades were almost derailed by a mutant algorithm.
See what he did there? Did you see what he did there? Very clever. Yeah, so
guys, it was the algorithm.
It was the algorithm. So essentially, he's blaming the algorithm. And I mean, yeah. Don't you feel sorry for the poor guy that wrote this algorithm? Because he's probably just sat there like, hey, guys, don't even try that. I was just doing my job. I was just doing what I was told to do.
So the results are based on, obviously, based on the lockdowns, like through online learning or what?
The reason why is that schools were all shut, and so kids couldn't sit their like end of year exams.
Yeah.
So for GCSEs or A-levels. And so they were sort of umming and ahhing for a little while. Like, do we just give kids like their predicted grades, like by the teachers, like what they were sort of, they thought they would get.
Yeah.
But then they thought, no, don't worry. We can use, you know, science and a not mutant algorithm to sort this one out. And so they sort of set the algorithm up to work. That sort of like drew data on like where the kids are from, but it was sort of like skewed towards that, like if you went to like the sort of the posher schools. And
could
whatever,
you not say that algorithm is like almost biased, or it could be like perceived as like racist or demographically like, I don't know what the word is.
And this is exactly what happens. Like, you know, kids that work really hard and like, you know, but you know, they had their grades, they were offered places at universities based on like, you know, we think we'll get these grades, so great. And then the algorithm decided that actually, no, you probably would have got like an E because you're, you know, from a not very well-off family and things like that. And so there was absolute like...
Whoa.
There was uproar. Yeah, there was uproar in the... And instead they reverted and said like, okay, you can have your predicted grades instead. So like, it's all sort of been like sorted out. But yeah, Boris Johnson likes to paper over by saying the mutant algorithm. I'm sure he marched over to the government IT department, didn't he? He was like, what have I told you about carrying the decimal places, guys?
Yeah,
no wonder everyone got it. Oh, I gave them a good talking to. I did. Don't worry.
It's the most British scandal ever. Like, it really is.
Yeah.
And it's shocking. I mean, I'll be completely honest. Were teacher predicted grades too high? Yes, they were. Like, of course they were, because teachers want their pupils to do well. And obviously, they get more funding if they get better grades. So, I mean, I think they worked it out. Like, on average, it was about an 8%. Grades were like 8 to 10% higher or something like that.
All right, okay.
Based on what they should have been. But yeah, Greg, you hit the nail on the head there completely. But I think one of the main takeaways is that Boris Johnson thinks kids yearn to sit exams. And I think maybe...
What is he talking about?
And I think maybe this might be the first time in history that kids actually did yearn to sit exams.
Yeah, probably.
I can tell you now, my brothers and sister are usually like, they don't mind going to school, but obviously if they can sit at home, if they can stay home in their warm beds of an early morning when it's cold, of course they'd prefer that. But I've never, ever seen kids want to go back to school more.
Oh, okay.
After 6 months of lockdowns, kids are just like, even just my brothers and sister are absolutely fed up. Like, they're more fed up than us adults. At least we get to go to work. We get to come home. So, yeah.
So do you think that, I think, you know, one of the things that has really come out of this is more of an appreciation. It's a more of a gratuitous nature for the freedoms that we once had. Do you think that's even carried over into like kids with education? They're going to be, you know, because obviously kids traditionally, they don't like going to school. But now, do you think they're going to be much more open to the idea of going? Do you think they're, or do you think that novelty will wear off pretty quickly? Greg, you're a teacher. Nibsy, you've got some experience with this.
I have very little faith that things are going to go back to the way that they were. Like, take, for example, the people that, you know, they work from home now and they realize that they're more efficient. And they cost less because they don't need a factory to work at or an office. They can just conduct their work from home. It's kind of like teachers, you know. If a school is overcrowded or there's too many students at the school, they could conduct online learning 2 out of 3 days a week. Or they could reduce school hours, or I don't know. I don't know what's to come, but it could definitely be something for the future.
All right, definitely. Greg, I just want to hear you chime in here and then we must move on.
Yeah. I think we are in for a bit of a change in terms of like the sort of the work, like culture and everything like that. But in terms of kids going back to school, I think they miss the sort of social side of school more than they do like the learning and whatever and things like that. Like, so they're looking forward to being back at school with their friends. And you know, I think the novelty of learning, you know, they're yearning for the education and whatever. I always felt that way, that I actually do enjoy like learning, even though at school like, I wasn't paying attention and whatever. But then when you leave school, you realize, oh yeah, it was actually good to learn new things every day.
Fair enough.
I don't know.
Do you think that it will still remain the traditional 5 days a week, 6 hours a day education? Or do you think that'll slowly change?
I think it will, because it has to in many ways, because a lot of parents rely on kids to be at school while they go to work. You know, that's just a fact of life that's not going to change, even if they're working from home. Even if, because once the kids come home, they can't do anything else. So yes, I do think that'll change. That won't change. Right, guys, we must move on. Now, why are Japan grannies running around with machine guns? We're intrigued.
So I kind of hyped up the story a little bit just for, you know, to lure the listener in. But, you know, I am being kind of truthful. This really caught my eye this week, that three grannies in Japan, calling themselves the Monkey Busters, are warding off crop-eating monkeys with air guns. And I just had this great image of sort of like the Zimmer frame signal being shown in the sky. And there's some delightful pictures which I will share in the show notes down below. But it's in the rural town of Kishi. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. The team of Masako Ishimura, Tatsuko Kinoshita, and Miyuki II respond to distress signals of those whose crops are under attack by the area's wild monkeys. They often respond in the middle of housework and rush to the site in their aprons, wielding air guns to send the monkeys fleeing and protect the crops. They are even sometimes backed by angry villagers with firecrackers. We won't let them damage the precious vegetables grown by the villagers, Ishimura tells the Fuki Shinbun. I was just streaming through story after story of sort of like more depressing news and whatever, and I thought, you know what? This is great. And they're looking like the sort of Grandma Charlie's Angels in this image here, which I will share in the show notes down below. But I've always like thought my grandma was seriously looking at one point to get like an air pistol because she wanted to shoot magpies in her back garden. She says like, I see them stealing the chicks of like, other birds or whatever in my back garden, and like, and she's had enough of it. So I just wondered if any of you like take a real aversion to any sort of animal, and you could sort of like put together a crack team that was cracking down on them. For me, it'd be wasps. Those little shits have to go. Okay, I am a caring as the next person. You know, I will save the spiders rather than killing them. I will sort of like usher like flies at the river. But wasps all literally deserve to die. They bring nothing good. The day that I found out that they lay their babies inside ladybirds, that's it. They're on my hit list forevermore. Nibs.
If I could put an insect on my hit list, it would definitely be mosquitoes. They are the most useless things.
They can go as well.
They're the most useless things that you could ever lay your eyes on. Like, they're tiny. They don't hurt, you don't feel them, but man, do they make you itch. Like, they're just the worst. They're just the worst thing. I think it's like on par with your wasps. Like, I don't mind wasps, but
yeah, you just reminded me like of that one of the worst situations you can find yourself in is being in bed and all the lights are off, and then you hear past your ear like the
and you sit
up and you know there's a mosquito about somewhere. And you leap out of bed, turn the lights on, and it's like, wow, that's it, where is he?
So I am actually the world's greatest mosquito repellent, because if you're around me, you are guaranteed to not get bitten, because I will take all of the bites for you. Like, and honestly, I'm not one of those people that says I'm allergic, but I feel like I am, because every time I get bitten, that part of my body will just swell up to literally anything. It's so bad. So yeah, mosquitoes piss me off. I would say spiders, because my girlfriend hates spiders, and I'm just so... I could sleep with a tarantula in my room and not really be that bothered, but I'm so sick of hearing screaming and oh my god, I can't do it. It's just a fucking little spider. Like, sorry, language there, but you know, seriously, get over it. Anyway, moving on, because she's in the next room probably listening to this. So, but Greg, just talking about the shooting down things, you know, one of the things I cannot wait for is Amazon Prime delivery drones.
Yeah, when's that happening?
Well, they've been doing some trials. They've been doing some trials in Cambridge. Okay, so there was one man on a farm. One man on a farm near Cambridge that was had spent a year ordering packages from Amazon with Amazon Prime delivery drones, all right? But anyway, they've been doing a bit of thing. But the one thing I cannot wait for is some redneck in Alabama to take his shotgun and shoot it out of the sky. Because it's going to happen. Do you know what I mean? It's going to happen. I don't
they're
know where they
over
think
my
this
land.
Is. Yeah, but I don't know where they think this is going other than that. So, anyway, thanks for that, Greg. That was a brilliant story. We must jump into a break quickly. So, look, if you've got anything you want to get into us, please do email us at podcast@tw3media.co.uk or you can tweet us at tw3media across all our social media channels. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back, guys. So, I had like a little bit of an issue. I've got a little bit of an issue with TFL, and I wondered if you'd like to hear what it is.
Yeah, please, fire away. Sorry, I was about to London-splain to Nibsy yet again.
No,
then I was
please,
about to say,
please
by the
do
way,
because I don't know what TFL stands for. Right, okay, I thought it was like football league, something football league.
No, I was about to tell you, Nibs, and I thought I was going to get absolutely harangued again by you going, "Oh, Greg, I live there for you. I know what the so, but no, so." TfL is Transport for London, Nibsy, so they handle like the tubes and buses and the, you know, all the. So please proceed, Dom.
Yeah.
Now that we're all on the same page.
Now that we're all on the same page, so I went on I went on a journey the other day, and I needed to go to Sydenham in South London, and I took a train to Canada Water, where I usually get an overground service. Now the overground service was cancelled, as is what usually happens. On weekends, fine. Replacement bus services. Okay, so I walked along to bus stop Y. Okay, it's about 200 metres from Canada Water Station. And I stood there for 40 minutes. Nearly 45. Because, of course, the problem is that we all know buses come in threes, right? Like, it always happens, okay? So I'm stood there for a good 40 minutes, and I'm just like, I know the buses are all going to come along, and you always think, if you leave now, you're going to be that idiot that walks away, looks over his shoulder, and sees the buses. Anyway, I was fuming, because a 45-minute journey that usually takes me 45 minutes took me 2.5 hours. Anyway, I got home, and I consulted my library, okay? And in my library, I have a book that says, "Why do buses come in threes?" Okay. So, if you turn to page 75 of this book, it gives a mathematical explanation of why buses come in threes. Now, I'm not going
to
read
the timetable, right?
It's not, Nipsey, no, it's not. It's actually to do with passengers themselves. All right. So it's to do with the passengers, because essentially what happens is passengers bunch up on the routes. And then, of course, what happens is buses then miss the stops because they don't need to stop at that stop because there's no passengers that need to get picked up. So essentially it works out all the maths, and it's got like a little thing, and it does all the maths for why buses come in threes. Okay. Now, this was a good explanation, okay, but
are these mutant algorithms?
It's quite possible. But Nibsy, this is, I wasn't overly content with discovering that buses do indeed come in threes. So I did what any normal reasonable person did, and I wrote a letter to the head of TfL.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Would you like to hear this letter?
Please, Dom.
Okay.
We should have a segment called Dom's Complaints.
Yeah, well, here we go. Dear Mr. Brown, his name is Mike Brown and he runs TfL. I recently embarked on the expedition of a lifetime and I am looking for some funding. Last Saturday, I dutifully set off from my humble abode in Zone 1 to take a trip to Sydenham in South London. On a good day, this trip will usually take me a mere 45 minutes. Saturday, Mr. Brown, was not a good day. Upon reaching Canada Water, I was saddened to learn the overground was on holiday. Undeterred, and being the astute operator I am, I requisitioned a member of your staff and sought to hash out a plan of action. And so I set off to a place that will now infamously be known as Bus Stop Y. It is there that I and some 40 other adventurers stood patiently waiting in the wind and rain for the stuff of nightmares, our rail replacement bus service. From between our wet hair and face coverings, occasionally our eyes would meet in such a way as if to say, do you know something I don't? Or, I'm not going to break first, are you? After 50 minutes and now being late for my dinner, I finally cracked under the pressure, Mr. Brown. In a spirit of Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman, it was time to start the long way round with an arduous walk back to Canada Water. Four trains, 2.5 hours later, some grey hairs, a threefold increase in transmitting COVID-19, I arrived at my destination. All this brings me to the crux of why I have penned this letter to you today. I funded this expedition with £8.20 out of my own pocket. Can I have it back, please? Yours ever faithfully, Dominic Lane. So this was my complaint to Mr. Brown. He's yet to reply, unsurprisingly, probably. But I mean, does it just not drive you nuts? I mean, 2.5 hours, £8.20, and I didn't even get to my destination?
I love the comedy behind you writing them a letter and the fact that you write everybody a letter, but I just want to point out one thing. Not only did you end up wasting 2.5 hours of your time, you also spent time reading a book about why, and then you took decisive action, which cost you more time for someone that will never get a reply.
I'm sure that £8.20 is winging its way to you all in that one penny's dump.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'll be honest. I did actually get a reply from Deliveroo, by the way. It wasn't like quite the reply. I did get a reply from Deliveroo. It wasn't quite the reply I thought I'd get. It was from the head of customer service, believe it or not.
Oh.
Or team leader or something, I don't know. And he basically said that he looked at my account and decided that there was not enough actions that were wrong to warrant further action. Which I dispute. I mean, if I'm missing 50% of my Diet Cokes, that's not great customer service, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, I've now moved on to Uber Eats.
Well,
it does work sometimes.
But Tom, this is how things get changed, Tom, you know? Just, you know, one strongly worded letter at a time. Someone needs
I
to
agree.
Do it,
and I'm reading another book by a gentleman called Aaron Schwartz, who have Nibs and I spoke about ages ago. And he believed fundamentally, if you don't do anything, then what's the point? So I will continue my campaigns and I will dutifully keep you updated on my endeavours as I navigate through the complex daily first world problems that we all encroach on all of our lives. Okay, so we move on then, now that I've got that off my chest.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, okay, moving on. So, Nibs, we're going to move on to your story. Martin Heemeyer is all I got, as if it was some Times cryptic crossword.
Purse out of our misery.
So, yeah, like, you're going to have to bear with me, but on the grounds of doing something about it, Marvin Heemeyer was an American welder and an automotive muffler repair shop owner. He was living in Granby, Colorado, and he had a dispute with his local authority because he was found dumping sewage from his business instead of installing a proper septic tank. Now, his feud came to a head on June the 4th in 2004. Over about 18 months, this man had spent countless hours and money building a Komatsu bulldozer and equipping it with steel armor and concrete, like concrete plated with steel, and proceeded to demolish the town hall. He destroyed the town hall along with two other buildings before eventually, obviously, the whole thing came to an end, and not in a very nice way. But this guy, more or less, was just like, you know what? I've had enough. I've got to say something. But he didn't take the Dominic Lane approach of, I'm going to write them a letter. He thought, I'm going to do what I know how to do. I'm going to modify a machine and make it an absolute tank and just demolish them.
Oh my God.
I actually seen this on one of my friend's Facebook pages, and it said, never forget Marvin Heemeyer. And I was like, who is this guy? So I looked him up, and it just happened to be You know, it just happened to be this story. So I thought it'd go well with that. Nice one.
Well Martin and I have different approaches to life, but I fully appreciate that he did something. He didn't just sit there and complain about it. So
no.
We'll give him a nice, I think we'll give him a TW3 award, gents, I think.
Yeah, why not?
I think definitely. What a guy.
He used this to demolish the Granby Town Hall, the former mayor's house, and several other buildings.
Oh my god.
Man was on a mission.
Man.
Well, how did you stop that?
Well, apparently 200 rounds of ammunition couldn't stop it. He had it done that well. He had cameras mounted with bulletproof glass in front of them, so they were impenetrable. And he had it air conditioned and everything, so in the cab it was quite comfortable and relaxed while he's just doing what he needed to do. It was a full plan.
Why wasn't this on TMZ?
Because it's on TW3.
Hey, absolutely, Nibsy. Like it. All right, cool, brilliant, Nibs. Make sure we get that down in the description for listeners to give that a read over. Definitely. Yeah, guys. So, how about a quick game? Yeah, a quick game.
Games,
yeah, a little
please,
quick game. So I've just kind of come off this off the cuff. I'm going to play you a soundbite, and I want you to tell me the news story, however comical the news story might be, however not comical the news story might be. I would like you to tell you the news story that is behind the soundbite. Okay?
All right.
So.
Just going to have a beer.
He's going to have a beer. I heard that, and I thought... I was like, I'm sure he's going to have... Literally, did you hear that? The can opening.
I heard the sound, yeah.
Ah, it's a Pepsi. Oh, dear.
Sorry, guys. I'm all right. Parched.
You're parched, mate. Oh, I thought
I
that
really
was
actually
you.
I actually am parched.
I actually parched. Okay. All right, so look, here's the news story. You both get one shot at telling me the news story behind it. You ready?
The man caught ready. Here who just wanted a packet of cigarettes... You can imagine now he has a pack of cigar regrets.
Wait. All right. Man, like, you know, at gunpoint, tries to steal. Like, just he doesn't want the cash register. He just wants like a packet of cigarettes or something, right?
Oh,
Nibsy, what's your guess?
Nibsy, your
I
guess.
I couldn't tell if that was an Australian accent, but maybe if it was an Australian accent, then this person's broken curfew. And now he's in trouble. Yeah.
Nibsy's nailed it. Yeah, Nibsy's nailed it. All right, so if you listen.
The man caught here who just wanted a packet of cigarettes. You can imagine now he has a pack of cigar regrets.
So that was an Australian accent.
That guy should be fired.
You're quite correct. So I managed to like pull the news story. And Nibs, you're absolutely right. He broke curfew. He didn't have a mask. And he tried to buy cigarettes, and apparently police have issued 253 fines to individuals, including 41 for failure to wear a face covering and 75 for breaching curfew. And can I say one thing? No. I don't know what Seven News is in Australia. Is Seven News, is it a regional?
No, it's a national news network.
National,
but
okay.
It is not... It is mainstream media. It is not Reliant.
Yeah. No, yeah, I know. Yeah, cool. Yeah, of course. Because I've seen the... I know it's mainstream media. And it's national news, okay? And can I just say that we know we've got a problem when a guy is sat up there, stood up there, literally doing the worst pun ever about a man being banned from buying cigarettes. I mean, this is national news in Australia. We've got problems, guys.
And the worst part is, he's Australian. He should have, like, you know, Pun City. Like, everyone here knows puns, yeah. And, that, like, they have good jokes. But this guy is just, he should be fired. I want
to
know who he is.
Do a disservice to the people.
So I can email him with a very well-worded letter. Before you disgrace me in front of my British friends, can you have some remorse?
It was like the guy, do you remember, a few weeks back with the Get Off My Grass guy? Oh, what a classic.
Oh, what a classic. Oh, you reminded me. He says, excuse me, guys, because I've just receded that.
Yeah. We'll jump very quickly to a break before we finish off, guys. If you want to get anything into us, please do email us in podcast@tw3media.co.uk or you can tweet us at tw3media across any of our social networks. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, welcome back, guys. Nibs, yes, Nibs in the break just said that TFL, he should have known that. Given you lived in London for a year and a half, Nibs, I think you should have. And also, if you would like to hear what we were just referring to, this is the little soundbite that we debuted a few weeks back.
Has been delivered. 10,000 Australians.
Can everyone get off the grass, please?
Sure. Let's just move back from there.
Come on. Hey, guys, I've just reseated that.
Please, off the thing.
Sorry, mate.
All good. That's all good. Thanks. So it's the projects that count.
So just in, like a very quick fillery. that was Scott Morrison, or also known as ScoMo, which sounds like scum on a pond, but ScoMo. Who was doing a, like, announcing a new piece of policy, and he was on someone, at all the reporters were on this guy's grass, and he had just reseeded his lawn. So he was very upset. And I think Australia is one of the soundbite capitals of the world. Can we all agree with that, right? I mean, Nibsy's
100%.
Like 1 million percent, even like more so than America in some respect. Okay, cool. So we're going to move on. I've got a very quick story before we get on to. I just thought it was quite cool, guys. Greg, I know you're a bit of a gamer, but have you seen Microsoft Flight Simulator?
I have indeed, Dom.
Oh, my God.
It's impressive stuff, isn't it?
It is. Nibs, you've got to go watch some videos. Okay, so the graphics are absolutely insane. Mm. You know what Flight Simulator is, don't you, Nibs? Like, the game.
Yeah, I love planes.
Mate, it's amazing. Okay, so A, the graphics are amazing, but B, you have live weather. Okay, so the weather...
It's taking it to a whole new level, Nibs.
Wow.
And you have live traffic as well. So, say a British Airways flight is taken off in real life from Heathrow to fly to Las Vegas, that you could go and theoretically meet that British Airways flight at 30,000 feet over Greenland or something like that, you know?
Whoa.
I know, right? But the thing...
That's intense.
Okay, so the thing, okay, that has, like, really blown my mind, all right, is that obviously Hurricane Laura has formed, or had formed, this week off the coast of Texas. Okay, obviously formed a while back, but it was gone into, I think, a Category 4, maybe. It was maybe a Category 3 into a Category 4. And pilots on Flight Simulator were flying into the hurricane because the weather is live. Okay, and they were thinking, well, I wonder what it's going to look like. Just go and watch the videos. It's
I haven't seen that. That's
insane.
Exciting.
It's so cool. Oh, wow. Like the cloud formations, the accuracy of the cloud formations is amazing. I don't think anyone found the eye. I didn't see anyone who had found the eye. But also the wind speed as well. One guy flew in there and he was literally traveling sideways. That's like basically what he was. He was just traveling. He was flying sideways because it was like 100. Greg's so excited he can't wait. You can see him now. He's like looking at YouTube
and he's about to
type it in. As soon as this episode finishes, Greg into YouTube is going to put Hurricane Laura Flight Simulator and he's going to watch the videos. But it's brilliant. Nibs, if you love Flight Simulator and you've got a laptop that can run it, which I think you do. It looks amazing. I don't. I'm absolutely gutted. Greg, I'm going to come over to your house, by the way, if you download this, and I'm going to play it. I swear to God.
Could you call it... I mean, you referred to it before as a game, but to be fair, whenever I've played simulators, and I have, they're so realistic. And obviously, as with time, we've progressed so far, and obviously Microsoft have just released one that's, you know, sort of cutting edge. But do you think it's a game? Because I find it more, it's almost like one of those educational games. Because to be fair, if you can commandeer a flight simulator and do it successfully in live weather, you'd actually be able to fly a plane.
Yeah, that's an interesting extra thing. Yeah, lots of people are saying, don't consider this like a game. Because, a game, you know, parents would buy this for their kids and the kids would be quite disappointed because they'd find that they can't take off, let alone...
If my brothers were like, can we get a flight simulator? I'd be like, yeah, rather than playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, yeah.
And just running around killing people.
It's absolutely amazing. And the controls are so realistic. Like, they have flight management computers. They have autopilot. They have, it's just incredible. And then also, if you were to download the whole entire world... like all of the graphics, it's this detailed that it would be into the hundreds of petabytes of data, which is like 1,024, I think, terabytes, sorry. It's a huge amount. And what they do is they use an AI to essentially construct buildings. So if you fly to Buckingham Palace, it has the right floor plan, but the building is like a really modern building. Because it obviously the AI, only from a satellite image, doesn't know what the building's architecture is. So it looks like a modern office block, but it's still like it's in the same shape as Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the wrong. But to do that for the, throughout the whole entire world, you know, that's just just impossible for every building in the world. Do you see what I mean? So and people have been just flying to these insane places anyway. I want to play this game so badly. I don't have a computer that runs it, but I will be trying to come and see Greg soon to play it because I'm sure he's downloaded it. So, yeah. But anyway, that was my little thing. Greg, I think it's over to you to pretty much finish things off with a don't even get me started.
Well, yeah, and I do want to remain brief as I've gone over the time previous couple of weeks, but just very quickly then, boys.
All right, shall we put you on the clock? I think we will make sure. Nibs, I don't know if you listened to the last one, but Greg has a propensity to get so worked up that he can't even get the words out. So he will say two words, then stop and go. Greg, you've got 60 seconds on the clock. You ready for some brevity? Don't even get me started. Ready, 3, 2, 1, go.
I was called out a few weeks ago for being out of touch or just like hanging out in the wrong areas of TikTok, okay? When I condemned it as just being deserving of the chop. But turns out I was right once again, boys, okay? With my statement, this week, it's been full of teen TikTok twits with their latest insensitive bright idea. Let's slap on some shoddy makeup and pretend to be dead Holocaust victims. I know some of you are claiming to be educational with your videos, but if you'd spent more time in school over the past few months and read any textbook that's more text than pictures, you know that you're disrespecting the tragic deaths of millions in one of the greatest atrocities of modern times. They're like, now they're thinking that, oh, I'm so-and-so, that no connection to these dead people at all. I'm so-and-so and I died in the Holocaust, so like, I was beaten for this and whatever, just so they can make like a quick video on TikTok. Like, it's, I've, once again, I'm saying it's time up for TikTok.
Hey, absolute machine. All right, Greg, with 5 seconds to spare, well done. Very good. To be honest, social media is a cesspit for the dregs of society.
Yeah.
But yeah, Greg, that is, I'm shocked to hear that, to be honest. That is just shocking. Absolutely. I can't believe that these teens, they can just be so stupid sometimes. But this is the problem, is that you give it, we all, if you think back to when we were teenagers, we all said and did stupid things, right? We all did it. But the problem is we didn't have a mobile telephone in our hands to record it and put it out to the world, you know? So
yeah, that's true. It just shouldn't be like publicized. Like, it doesn't need to, like, none of it needs to be.
Yeah.
You're about to start me off on another rant for a sidetrack.
Sidetrack. Look, I think we're pretty good for time this week, so we will close things out. Nibsy, it's been wonderful to have you back. We've made you smile. I've seen you almost falling off a chair at one point. I hope we've made you smile at home too. That was the week that was. If you want to get anything into us, please do email us in at podcast@twmedia.co.uk, or you can tweet us or message us across all our social medias at TW3Media. I promise you, we're not the, part of the cesspit of the dregs of society. We just contribute to it. I'm Dominic Lane, your host. I'm joined by Nibsy from Australia, Greg from London. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you this week. Please stay safe, stay alert. We'll see you on the other side. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Greg, bye, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys.